Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Friends, we cannot go to heaven unless we learn to live a holy life. And we cannot compare our holiness to the person sitting next to us. We must compare our holiness to God. He is the standard, and we must see what he says we need to do to be holy. I would like to do just a couple sermons on the topic of being holy. This kind of follows along with the three sermons I did on Psalm 51 and sin, because it is just so important that we realize what our sins do to God and how we need to be holy people. And as I said before, when the world is losing its consciousness of God, and when men lose the consciousness of God's existence, they lose their fear of sin. And we have just lost our fear of sin. You talk to people about one thing and another. Well, everybody does it. Well, friends, everybody may do it, but God does not want us to do it. So let's start by defining the word holy. Holy describes something or someone that is set apart for God's purposes and possesses purity and divine significance. So a couple words to take out of this: pure and devoted. Pure, something that does not have other things mixed in, undiluted. Devoted, it's set apart for a certain reason, a certain purpose. The Old Testament, there is a religious connotation. In one sense, the word describes an object or place or day to be holy, with the meaning of devoted or dedicated to a particular purpose. The priest shall take the holy water in an earthen vessel, and the Sabbath day is devoted over the other days. In Isaiah 58 and verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor seeking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride high on the hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here Isaiah talking about the Sabbath and how it is to be regarded as holy. The holy day is honorable. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord and cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. God will bless us when we treat those things holy that he has said are holy. Moses records in Genesis 2:3, the Lord sanctified or dedicated the Sabbath. He set it apart. God dedicated to Israel his people as holy. They were holy by their relationship with God. And again, one thing to point out about in Genesis 2:3, the Sabbath being holy, that was given to the Israelites, not to the patriarchs. But Moses, when he wrote the book of Genesis, mentions it in the section of creation. Well, let's look at some key passages. If you want to write down the passages, I will go through and read them. I have several for us to consider so we get a feel for what holy is. So the first one is in Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. In Leviticus chapter 20, beginning at verse 23, you shall not walk in the statutes of the nations which I am casting out before you. For they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean and unclean, between clean and unclean birds, and you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples, and you should be mine. So we see this concept with holiness. There's a separation. He starts talking about being separated from certain people. He talks about being separated from certain animals. Isaiah 6:3. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." So we see that God wants us to be holy because he is holy. We are his children. As his children, we are to be holy. Leviticus 10:3. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. And what's the context of Leviticus 10:3? When Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered strange fire on the Lord, when they offered strange fire on the altar, and God struck them dead. He killed them. And Moses said, "This is what the Lord said. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy." So we see how serious God takes holiness. And when we talk about Nadab and Abihu, sometimes I think we forget that these would have been Moses' nephews. These were his relatives, but God must be treated as holy. Leviticus 22 and verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they do not profane my holy name by what they dedicate to me. I am the Lord. Say to them, whoever of all your descendants throughout your generations who goes near the holy things which the children of Israel dedicate to the Lord, while he has uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from my presence of the Lord." So this may seem like a lot of verses, but it's repeated over and over and over in the Old Testament, where it was drilled into their minds that something is either holy or unholy. It's clean or unclean. And friends, to go back to what I said at the beginning, if we want to go to heaven, if we want to be with holy God in heaven, we must learn how to be holy. We must learn how to separate ourselves from certain people of this world and certain things of this world. We must be imitators of the Father. Ephesians 5:1, we are his children. And this should be the desire of our heart, that we want to be holy as God is holy. We don't just want to look at it as some academic exercise. This is holy, this isn't. Got to do this, I shouldn't do that. We should do things that God wants us to do because we want to please the Father. And if we just go through the motions of something, we aren't worshiping God in spirit. Now, there's another word that comes up as I was reading through talking about holy, that's used over and over. And that word is abomination. It's mentioned many times in the Old Testament. Here's a selection of them. From Leviticus, it shall be an abomination. The soul that eats of it shall bear his iniquity. All of these things talking about being an abomination to you. So then we need to ask ourselves, we understand what holy is. It's something that's separate. It's set apart for a special purpose or use. Well, what does abomination mean? It fits in with holy, because if something is not holy to God, it can be an abomination. If he says, do this, but instead we do this, this is an abomination because we didn't do what God said over here. Abomination is something that is loathsome. It's a detestable thing. What makes it loathsome or detestable? Because God said, don't do it. He's plain and simple. He said, don't do it. And if you do it, it's detestable in my sight. It also has the sense of being dangerous, sinister, and repulsive to another individual. Now, we might think of, if they ate this animal, it's not repulsive. It's not sinister. If they ate this animal, it's not dangerous. It is, because God said, don't do it. And God could have made up a list of whatever he wanted to by the fact that he said, this is clean, this is unclean. His word made it what it is. So let's consider, when we're talking about holiness, that there's a warning that is given. He says to them, they are unclean to you. They are an abomination to you. Other people might eat those animals, but it shall not be so with you. So you think about all the people in the land of Canaan. They would eat anything that they wanted to. Did it kill them? No, didn't kill them. But if a Jew, if an Israelite ate those things, it was an abomination. You see, God was teaching them. He wanted them to be different. Now, he doesn't give us a list of food today that we can and can't eat. But we see, again, drilled into the Israelites, God wanted them to be different. He didn't want them to blend in. He wanted them to be different because he is holy. Other people might eat those unclean animals, but it shall not be so for you. You are my people, redeemed by blood, separated for my name's glory. So your manner of living must not be after the manner of the ungodly. Sometimes we see this like just in royal families. We might see something on TV where there's this king or queen or prince or princess or whatever, and you see their lifestyle, and they do certain things and they don't do certain things because they are of that royal family. The royal family can do this, but it doesn't do that. We see that just in common things. We've got to see that in our spiritual life. So a warning is given. Distinctions must be made. God himself distinguishes what is unclean for his people. And when you look at the animals that are mentioned in the Old Testament, it's interesting, the clean animals are known by their feet and their mouth. They're known by their feet and their mouth. They part the hoof and chew the cud. They're known by their feet and their mouth. What God has cleansed, called not that common or unclean, Acts 10:12. Again, it's what God determines. But it's interesting, the foot and the mouth, and the Bible doesn't make this distinction, but you stop and think with us today, what about our feet and our mouth. Think about our walk and our word. Are we holy in our walk? The things we do, the way we live, the places we go. Are we holy in our walk? Are we holy with our mouth, with our word? Do the words that we say, do they edify God? Do they exhort and encourage one another? We talk about some people having foot and mouth disease and sticking their foot in their mouth. But when I read about this point, that the clean and unclean animals were basically separated by their foot and their mouth. And you just think about people today. We can divide people. You go to a workplace, you can divide people by the way they talk and where they go after work. So many times, hey, you want to go out for drinks? When we get off work today, you want to go here, want to go there, you want to go to the club? And you hear ungodly, profane language all day. God wants his people to be different. He wants his people to be like he is. He wants his people to be holy. Thou shalt not eat or become a partaker of any abominable thing. Deuteronomy 14:3. Again, whatever God says is clean is clean. Unclean is not. What God tells us to do, we are to do. What he says don't do, we shouldn't do. Well, what are the reasons for holiness? This sounds like a lot of regulations. Why should we be holy? One of the reasons is his sovereign claim over us. I am the Lord your God, Leviticus 11:44. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Friend, do we realize that God owns us? Christ owns us. He purchased us with his blood. We belong to him. And we should be thankful that we do. If we didn't belong to him, who would we belong to? We would belong to Satan. Because when we go off in sin, whoever we serve is our master. When we sin, we are serving Satan. But Christ loved us enough that he died for us. He bought us. He redeemed us. He bought us out of the bondage of sin. He set us free. Just like you go back to the Israelites, and God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, so they could be free. And what did they want to do? They wanted to go back in sin. They didn't treat God as holy. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And again, when we think about something being defiled, something being not pure, something being dirty, if you put on a white shirt, white dress, and then you go out to eat and you drop whatever on your shirt or dress, it becomes defiled. It's no longer pure. It's no longer clean. God wants us to be clean. And this is a great blessing that we have. I am the Lord your God. God made it possible that we can be part of his family. And we should thank him for all the spiritual blessings he gives us, all the physical blessings. We loved our earthly father. Why shouldn't we love our heavenly father infinity times? For everything that he has done for us and is going to do for us. So, his sovereign claim over us is a reason for us to be holy. Consider what he has done for us. I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt. In verse 11, 45. And the Lord your God that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. And again, the nations round about them realized that God was the God of the Israelites. He was not just the God of the Israelites. They recognized that he was the God of heaven and of earth. When he destroyed Pharaoh's army when they were crossing through the Red Sea, when he destroyed kings Sihon and Og, the people knew that this great and mighty God was the God of the Israelites. And friends, we have been delivered out of the hand of the enemies that we might serve God with holiness and fear. Luke 1:74, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of your life. Do we appreciate that our sins have been forgiven? Or again, back to that statement I said at the beginning, do we just, we put God out of our mind, we put sin out of our mind, and everything is fine? Friends, we're going to have a reckoning day, and it's going to come a lot sooner, a lot quicker than we expect. We are redeemed by his blood. We are to belong to him. Another reason that we should be holy is because of his holy character. Back to 11:45, I am holy. God is holy. He is perfect in holiness. The wholeness of his character is eternally, unchangeably complete in all of his attributes and works. And our relationship to him. I am your God, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You shall sanctify yourselves. Again, we think of that father-child relationship. We should want to be like our Father. So, holiness. We must be like God. Well, can't I just do what I want and God can be God and I can live like I want to? We can do that. We're going to meet the same fate as Nadab and Abihu. And when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writing to the church there, he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, this is nothing new. God wanted them to learn to come out and to be separate, sanctified, set apart for a special purpose, for his purpose, for his use. And when we are unequally yoked with unbelievers, that's going to cause some problems with our holiness. And this evening, I'm planning on looking at God is not mocked, some lessons from Samson. But we've got to learn, and I'm speaking to myself, I've got to learn to be holy like God, because just going through the motions isn't going to get me to heaven. I saw this recently. Going to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. It just means you go to church. And so many people think that's the sum total of religion. well, I go here, I go there, and I go all the time, so I'm going to heaven. And even if I don't go all the time, I'm going to heaven. Friends, we cannot read about a holy God letting people do whatever they want. He is specified for us. And we need to walk as close as we can to God's word. And there are things, unclean things out there, and they don't look dangerous. They look appealing. They look appealing, and that's why Satan gets so many people, because they're temptations. They're temptations for people to do things. And they start off small, but a harmless little creature. You see this evil habit on the edge of the table, and this man sticks his finger out. Isn't it interesting? And that evil habit jumps up on his finger. Oh, wow, look, watch him grow. That little habit's getting bigger and bigger. But can't he grip tight? Boy, I'm starting to feel that now. I can hardly shake him loose. And then the last one, help, oh help, and it's too late. Because we have not separated ourselves from what God has said to separate ourselves. And we might, if we looked at that last picture first, we'd say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not that foolish. I'm not going to do that. But that's not how Satan approaches us. It's with that little habit, that little thing. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Friends, we should feel blessed that God has chosen us to be a people for himself and a special treasure. That is what we have when we are his children. But we must do those things that we need to do to become his children, to separate ourselves from the things of the world, and then to live a pure and clean and holy life so that we might live with the holy God for all time. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to respond to the gospel invitation in some way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.